We're going to turn Cybertron into a giant mud pit. The Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. Joining me in this special episode is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello. As I said, this episode is special, and in it, we're joined by Robo Apollo, aka Apollo. And if you're not familiar with her, she's the founder of Iacon Online, the new virtual convention for Transformers fans. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Steve and Mike.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So, I have to ask, just because we're here to discuss the convention, but tell us a little bit about the idea and what inspired Iacon Online.
All right. Well, Iacon Online, we're all are one, is a not-for-profit Transformers convention for fans by fans. The event is free to attend, and it's going to be running online January 30th and 31st of this month. We are hosting panels with official Transformers contributors and artists, as well as highlighting those within the Transformers community. We're also going to be hosting a virtual artist alley and cosplay competition. So it's just really exciting with how big this whole event is getting. So what happened was last year, back in August, I'm actually looking at the tweet where this idea came from originally on August 26th. A certain TF convention was canceled. And because of the pandemic, and I will not name it, and I was super disappointed, like I'm sure everyone was, just especially with how dark last year was and still how it is this year too. But anyways, I put the idea out there on Twitter, anyone interested in participating in a TF online event in October since, and I'm going to redact this name of the convention, was canceled. And so I got a huge response from that tweet. It got 66 likes. There were people retweeting it, all these comments, people asking me, like, what did you have in mind? And I said, well, you know, I just wanted to do a one-day fan event. And so that's where the idea was born originally. I created a Discord server from there, and people joined. We started having meetings weekly about it, and we soon realized, oh yeah, we're not going to be able to do this in October. And then we talked about doing it in November, and then one of the people on the call was like, no, we need to push this out a few more months. So we're planning an online event. And so that's kind of where the idea came from for this convention.
What is something unique you wanted to do with the convention?
Well, something that I wanted to do unique with it was to highlight the fact that we're all fans and the importance of fans in the Transformers community. Obviously, Transformers wouldn't have survived 35 years if it didn't have such a strong fan base. So I really wanted to highlight that, and especially the passion of the fans and fan creators, fan artists, especially, and people who create fan content like podcasts and videos and animations and whatnot. So that was the real driving spirit behind it. Especially because, you know, what's happened over the last year plus now is all these conventions have been canceled. And, you know, and it's such a bummer. I know it's a bummer for you both. I know it's a bummer for myself. And there are a lot of artists that rely on these conventions selling their merchandise and their commissions in order to make their bills, especially because a lot of people have lost their day jobs too because of the pandemic. And, you know, I wanted to think of a way where I could help people. And by putting on an event like this, this is going to, my goal is that I hope that artists really benefit from this event and it's able to help them get through these rough times as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not Transformers' fault Beast Wars had to save it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Mike's hinting at something there. a particular panel that I'm putting together. Yeah. So yeah, I've been having fun, and I love the way that this has been coming about, and the Discord channel, and as I've noticed being on there, there's a ton of artists, a lot of different variety. And people that are very talented at art that is something I'm not very talented at. but it's been enjoyable seeing that and then seeing the guests that have been lined up. Some of the, you know, different people that have been communicating through, you know, the just general chat or the toy chat or other things. But what are some of the hurdles you've had to overcome with doing a virtual convention?
You know, one of the hurdles so far, but I don't think it's going to be a hurdle anymore, was figuring out the tech aspects of it. So in regards to putting on a virtual event, you know, everything's online. It's not like you're going to a different room to go check out a different panel, or, you know, going to Artist Alley in person. It's how do you organize the infrastructure for these different types of interactions, like Artist Alley or getting autographs from voice actors or commissions from artists, or even just participating in game shows or panels as well. So it's just figuring out the logistics and the technology that's required to run those things was the biggest hurdle. We have an amazing person on our team named Suna, and who's in charge of our technology and is our going to be our broadcaster for the event. And she's a pro at this. We've done numerous tech tests, and we're going to be set for the event.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Very cool.
Thanks. Yeah. And I've got to give a shout out to Chally for organizing our Discord for the official Discord for the event, which you've been able to peek around in. It hasn't been released to the public yet, but as you've seen, like, artists are busy getting their stores ready for the public.
Yeah, and it's very very well organized. I was, to be honest, I was quite surprised at how you were able to use Discord and make it so clear cut. I did a virtual panel, or not panel, but a convention earlier this fall. They had Podcast Movement, and I was fortunate to be able to be a part of that. And they had a couple of different avenues of how they did things, and I found it rather difficult to grasp and kind of cumbersome in how they made it work. I have to say that I really enjoy how well and how easy it is to navigate Iacon Online's Discord.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And thank Chally for that, though, because she's the one who organized it. So and I'm really grateful for her expertise in that.
What are some of the panels at the con you're excited for?
Well, I can't announce everything yet because, you know, we're just waiting. What we're doing is we're announcing things on social media first, and then I can make announcements. But for stuff that's been announced, and I can't say what their panel is yet, I am super excited about the Cybertronics Spree. super excited. Like, this is not, this is nothing like they've done before in my knowledge, what they're going to be doing for our event. So I am very, very excited about that. I am very excited about the Transformers, the movie 35th anniversary panel that Joe Troutman is organizing. And I am very excited about that one. And also the Alita 1 panel, I'm very excited about. There's just so many that, you know, they're, I can't say what they are, but yet, but I am really, really excited about them. I'm excited about the one that Anna Malkova is on. I'm going to be hosting that. So I will leak that info. So I am super excited about that one.
She's one of the current Transformers artists, isn't she?
Yeah, she's the main, she's the main artist for IDW 2.0. Yep. And what's really cool about her is, like many of the Transformers artists, is she started out as a fan artist and became pro.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's, well, and funny enough, I happen to know a couple of fans that ended up becoming voice actors, and I know what they did before. because I was a fan dubber with the Transformers community for a number of years, specifically with like headmasters. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of TF Cog.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen anything from it.
So there's a group of people that have been doing this since like the early 2000s, and people like Daniel Ross and Frank Todaro and people like that have and John Bailey, they've all come out of doing these fan dubs and kind of worked their way into actual voiceover, which has been interesting to see happen. So
I think that's super exciting. And I love Frank's version of Starscream, like in War for Cybertron. Like, it's just so good. Like I think he's probably the best Starscream since Chris Latta.
Mm-hmm.
My top three are Latta, Bloom, and then Frank.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same.
Yeah, I think that those are probably the three strongest we've had out of the various iterations over the years.
I agree with you both on that one, that's for sure.
They're certainly not doing a bad, you know, a bad impression of Chris Latta, which is always a bonus, you know. Put your own spin on it, just to, you know, just a little bit. Have the same kind of whine to it, but, you know, a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So who are some of the guests that we can expect that have been announced?
Well, I'm actually going to pull that up. In regards to official guests, we've got, I mean, I can list them all that we've got that we've announced so far. There's still a few we haven't announced yet. But we've got Andrew Griffith, you know, who is also an artist at IDW.
Mm-hmm.
We already announced Anna. David Marriott. David Sobolov, who's also a voice actor. You know, he does Shockwave and Blitzwing. Yes, and Depth Charge as well. Super excited to have him. He's also offering autographs for the event. It's an Iocon Online special, and there's more information about that on our website. We also have FJ DeSanto. So we've got Flint Dilley, Frank Todaro, Greg Berger, Jason Marnocha, who, by the way, is my favorite Megatron now, like, which is probably blasphemous to say, you know, but I think he does a fabulous job as Megatron. And we've got John Moshita Jr., Lindsay, and I'm probably going to butcher her last name, so I apologize. So Lindsay Rousseau.
It sounds right.
Sounds right.
Yay. We've got Livio Ramondelli. We've got May Cat. We've got Matt Murray. Next is Shane McCarthy, Stan Bush. And the Cybertronk Spree, specifically Shockwave, RC, Hot Rod, and Rumble. And
all the best characters.
Yeah.
Well, they're all good, but I really love Shockwave from them the most. So, and then we also have Thomas Steer and Vince DiCola of announced guests so far.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's a very, very nice mixed bag and loaded official guests for sure.
Thank you. You know, one of the things about this event, you know, another thing is, you know, with the tagline, it says we're all our one, is all of us may have had a different starting point in Transformers, but we really want to bring everyone together. We want to make sure that there's a variety of voices heard, you know, whether they're official guests, you know, we want, you know, people from different backgrounds, different Transformers series to just come together and be a part of this event.
Oh yeah, totally. And it's like I said, it's nice seeing such a variety from the various iterations, whether it be from the movie, whether it be from G1, Beast Wars, War for Cybertron. There's just a nice mix between everybody on there.
Thank you. It's been a huge surprise to me, quite honestly, with how big our event is getting. You know, originally when we'd started planning this, you know, my vision for it was just to be, you know, a small fan run event during the day for maybe a few hours. And I'm just really proud of what the team's built and what, you know, how big this has grown. You know, it's just really amazing to me to see, you know, where we've come so far with this.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where, because we can't do in-person conventions, online stuff has to be what is done. And as long as you, the way I've always, I mean, in my youth, I may have said, oh, G1 forever, screw everything else. But, you know, for the last, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14 years now, I'm like, we all have interests within the Transformers fandom, no matter what it is, just because I read the comics at IDW doesn't mean somebody else isn't going to read the comics at Dreamwave or wherever, or just because, you know, War for Cybertron is not G1. War for Cybertron is its own cartoon. It's its own continuity. It draws things from G1. It does not take away from the original 84 cartoon. The 84 cartoon is still there, whether it's DVD, whether it's on, you know, a streaming app or whatever. No one's taking that away from anybody. Like, again, the whole thing of we, you know, we are all one. We are all in this. We're supposed to all be in this together. And it's one of those things where it's like when I set up, we have this thing on the podcast here called Transformers Origins. When I set that up, I crafted questions that where I tried to, except for the Bayverse, I mean, I respect those fans, but those movies. But it's one of those things where I tried my best to appeal to everybody. So whoever's on that, obviously certain people are going to have, you know, more specific, like they're G1 fans, and that's fine. But the questions still need to be asked, kind of thing. Okay, so what are some of the other aspects of the con you're looking forward to that we haven't mentioned yet?
You know, for stuff we haven't mentioned yet, you know, there's also fan run panels. You know, the spirit behind this event is, you know, that this is a fan run event, you know, and obviously the official guests are fans too, but we wanted to make sure that fans had their voices heard and were able to have the opportunity to host fan panels. So we've got a ton of fan panels that, you know, that we're going to be announcing over the next 2 weeks. And I am really excited about them. One of them is your panel, Steven.
Yes.
Or Steve, I'm sorry. One of them is your panel. I'm super excited about. So The Beast Unleashed. So I am really looking forward to seeing that And we've got so many other fan panels, and I wish I could say more, but I'm really, I can't say anything until they're officially announced. So, but I am super, super excited about them.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to see what comes out of the convention as well. So it should be a very interesting and fun weekend.
Yeah, and something I wanted to bring up too is we're not charging for this event. It's free. Everyone who's participating in this event, like all these official guests, fans who are making fan panels, they're doing this for free. We're doing this for free, the organizers. We're not getting paid to do this. And we're all putting, you know, so we're doing this out of the love of the Transformers franchise. We're not doing this to make money. We're just doing this because we want to give back to the world, you know, during this dark time right now, and just create something beautiful that we can share with everyone and have a really fun time, you know, fun weekend. So I'm super excited. I think it's going to be amazing. You know, not to toot my own horn, but I'm really just blown away by everything with it. So I just wanted to make sure that I said that no one's making money off this. I mean, obviously artists and Artist Alley are going to, but you know, that's fine. You know, they need to make money, and you know, this is giving them exposure to make sales on their merchandise.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where, like you said, it's something that we need right now. Like, I remember, and I know supposedly they're coming back this year at some point, but I went to the Stan Bush Vince DiCola concert in 2016 at essentially Kentucky ruined BotCon, because the last official BotCon convention was in Louisville, Kentucky in April of 2016. I didn't go to the convention itself, but I was able to go to the free concert that Stan and Vince had done. And ever since then, it's like, yeah, TFCon is there, and that's amazing. And I love that TFCon has branched out to all the cities that they've branched out to. But now that we're living in the world that we're living in now, we need something that we can just go to and say, hey, I was a member of, or I was a participant of IACON Online, and it was a cool thing. I like this, or I like that, or whatever. And we can all just come together as one.
Exactly. You know, it's going to light our darkest hour.
I was going to say that, and you beat me to it.
Sorry, Steve.
No, it's fine. I was like sitting at it and Mike's talking, and I'm like, I'm going to say it. And then it came out. Yeah.
We're all on the same page. We're all same wavelength, converging.
Thankfully, totally. You're not going the other way with the sayings. Cause I mean, in the other universe, it would be till all are gone.
Oh yeah, that's true.
We don't need the hate plague here.
No,
just the Matrix. So you mentioned off air before we started recording a little bit of this, but did you grow up with Transformers, or like what age do you remember first noticing it before you kind of got reintroduced to it later?
Yeah, so I was telling you both before the show started, you know, that I didn't get into Transformers until I was an adult. But what happened was I was born in 86. So, you know, Transformers had been on TV for a few years before I even was alive. And I remember in like the late 80s, there were reruns of Transformers on TV. And I remember the intro, you know, with like the Seekers running in and, you know, and then like Ratchet showing up and, you know, and I really remember Starscream, and I couldn't understand why Megatron was mean to him. And actually, I have a really funny memory where, like, I was watching Transformers, and I was like a real little kid, and I was like maybe 6 inches from the TV, like just staring at it. And my mom comes in, she's like, get away from the TV, you're too close. And so like I scooted back, and then once she left the room, I like moved back in. But like, I even remember then, like not understanding stuff from it. Like, you know, when they fly in, I didn't get how they could fly and stuff, you know. You know, when they weren't in their alt modes, even as a little kid, as a very curious little kid. And then when I was a little older, Beast Wars came out. And I was a huge fan of Beast Wars, but I actually, I don't know if I was oblivious or what, but I didn't realize it was a Transformers show. But I was really into it. I really remember liking Beast Wars Megatron. And David yes. K. Yes. Yes. So I was really into dinosaurs too. So like, because of Jurassic Park, so that like, you know, him being a T-Rex and just being Beast Wars Megatron, I mean, you can't get better than that. So I watched Beast Wars regularly, and then I didn't really, you know, I didn't really watch any other Transformers. Like, I really got into anime, you know, like a lot of us did at that time. Mm-hmm. And then in 2017, I was visiting a friend, and they were like, hey, let's go see this Transformers movie. And it was Transformers The Last Night. And we go and see it, and in theaters, and I just remember thinking Megatron was super cool in that. Like, I didn't really get the movie. I was like, okay, like, it starts off like King Arthur, and then like, wait, what's happening? But like, I really thought Megatron was cool from that, like just his design and, you know, the voice acting and everything. So I did a Google search on Transformers, discovered Transformers Prime because of this fan art image I saw of Starscream, where it said, I'm not going to say the expletive, but it said, expletive, I'm fabulous, with his hand on his hip. And then I'm like, what? Like, it made me laugh. And I'm like, what is this? And then I clicked on that, discovered Transformers Prime, and then the More Than Meets the Eye series written by James Roberts. And ever since then, I've been hooked.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I can kind of resonate and relate with that story. I'm also a child of 86, and I grew up with
whippersnappers.
Yeah.
How dare you, Michael Blanchard?
Hey, I'm the old man around here. Leave me alone. Get off my lawn.
I burned it first. Yes.
So I grew up and watched Beast Wars as well. And I knew it was Transformers, but like, I didn't really understand it. And I saw the original Transformers on the Sci-Fi Channel on their like reanimation block that they had. So I saw a bunch of rando episodes from season 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, like the rebirth of Optimus Prime and things like that. And, but I really resonated with Beast Wars. What's funny is I took the moniker of Optimus Primal originally when I first started getting online. And then I quickly switched to Megatron, and then I kind of went Steve Megatron, and then it's just stuck.
He can't get rid of it at this point. He tries. He tries to reinvent himself.
I did try it, and I just accepted.
I'm like, dude, just accept it. You are who you are.
I am Megatron. Yes.
I love doing that voice.
You're very talented with it.
When we interviewed David Kaye a number of years ago now, he's probably said this to other people at conventions, but to my knowledge, it was the very first time he's like, oh, well, second to my own voice, that's the best one we've got.
Nice. Yeah. So, yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. So you can pick one from each side. What are your favorite characters? Decepticon and Autobot, or Maximal and Predacon, whichever.
Starscream's my favorite, hands down. So I really love most of the versions of him. I you know, some people find him annoying. I don't. I really think he has a good backstory in most of his stories, like especially Armada and even in G1, you know, the one episode with him, you know, and the whole thing with Skyfire mm-hmm. and that whole backstory shows, well, oh, he actually cares about someone, you know, and yeah, so he's my favorite hands down. Autobots, my favorite's Jazz, and he's sleeping right now, but I got a corgi last year and I named him Jazz. So
nice. Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and he's very much like the character he's named after. But yeah, I really like Jazz. I wish there were more figures of him. But I've got
there's a Studio 86 figure coming out.
Yep, I've got it on pre-order. So.
Or if you're one of the lucky ones that can find it at Target.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, right?
I've been frequenting AllSpark and on their Discord, and we've been giving each other tips on how to obtain these Kingdom and Studio 86 figures. I have Scourge.
That's why I just sit back and pre-order and just wait, and that way I don't have to stress out about any of it.
Yeah, it's fun finding them in the stores, but like I live in Portland, Oregon, which is probably like the most collectors live here. Mm-hmm. Like stuff is so hard to find. I actually have to drive like into Washington to find stuff usually.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Hi neighbor.
Yeah, pretty yeah. much. And then like pay.
No, seriously, tax. I'm in Vancouver.
Oh, you are? Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I'm in Colorado. I have four
yeah,
targets.
Yeah, we know. You're thousands of miles away.
Yeah, it'd yeah. be quiet. But I have you'd four targets within my driving vicinity. So it's very convenient if you need to find something. Plus, if you give them the DCPI or the DPCI number, they can look it up immediately for you and they love it.
So yeah, like Mike, the other day I drove to Vancouver to the Target. I'm trying to remember the street over there.
Probably on Fourth Plane.
Yeah. It's the Fourth Plane one. And I found I always forget the cone head's names, but it's
Thrust?
The red one. Yeah.
Thrust,
that's
yeah.
one. Everybody's been losing him. Their mind over that one this week.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the hot commodity now. But yeah, I had to drive over there to get him. And like, they didn't have him out. So I was just like, do you have this in stock? And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll go check. But the whole store, like the Transformer section, looked totally ransacked. Like there was some random Kingdom stuff, but it was a hot mess.
I've figured out that at Walmart, they just don't care. They don't stock. Like mine still have everything since before Black Friday, but all the Targets around me have been ransacked. Something terrible. Like I see a ton of, what's funny is I see a ton of Kingdom Rat Trap, but I see none of the other figures anymore.
Isn't Rat Trap the core class?
Yeah. He's the $10 one.
That's why you see a bunch of him, because he's the tiniest bot out of them all, and he's the cheapest one out of them all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got that too. But, the super targets, on the other hand, they restock daily. So if you call them at about like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they tend to have things that weren't there at like 8 or 9 or 10. It's rather convenient. I figured out the time frame.
Well, I'm writing that down. Like I just wrote that now. So
it's note taking time, folks.
Yes. Time to go on a toy run.
Mm-hmm. And I figured if you called them first, within your vicinity and give them the DPCR number, not only will they tell you if it's in stock in their store, they will tell you if it's in stock in a nearby store.
Yeah, that's always good.
That's what I did with Megatron. And Scourge.
Yep.
So I believe you have some either Maximal Predacon choices too.
Oh yeah. So well, Predacons, it's obviously Megatron. Like there's no questioning that. Maximals, from what I remember of the show, like Dinobot, was he one? Like, I mean, I know he was a Predacon, but he switched sides, right?
Yeah, he switched to Maximal.
So, like, does he count as one? Like, a
vassal? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's I mean, he manages to trade her so many times, nobody knows what side he's on.
Yeah. I remember liking him a lot. And then I liked Rat Trap a lot, too.
Which is convenient because Scott does both.
Nice.
I watched, it was one of the season two or season three episodes, but I got to listen to Scott basically talk to himself doing Dinobot and Waspinator and Silverbolt and Rat Trap, like all within the same, like same scene type stuff. And then he's trying to do a Quick Strike impersonation. It was Maximal No More, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think
that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It was humorous to me because like he's basically talking to himself the whole scene.
That's so funny. Like, oh,
that's like the old G1 days when, you know,
Frank.
You know, oh, wait a minute, you know,
Wally Burr's like, hey, somebody just talked over him.
No, Wally, it's just Frank. He's talking to himself. He has seven characters he has to do.
Yeah, I can relate. I've done that to the voice director of the audio drama. He's like, at this point, he just accepts it. And he's like, okay, we're just going to put him on the same track and he can talk to himself all day. And that's fine.
What you need to learn to do to mess with your boss there, the voice director, you need to learn to have the cricket come from the other side of the room. Because that was one of Frank's bits.
Oh, make a cricket come in?
Yeah, because he made a cricket sound come out of the board. I remember one of the other Wally stories was, one of the old Wally Burr voice actor stories was, there was a cricket in the studio one day, and they're like, no, sorry, Mr. Sound Engineer, and sorry, Wally, that's just Frank. And he made it come out of the soundboard. Like, literally, like, there was an insect in the soundboard.
That's hilarious. I got to do that now.
Yep.
That takes skills.
True. But Steve has them, so it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have fun messing with me now. They're like, what do you got? we got a voice. We need you to do it. And then they're like, we have a talking bird. What do you got?
You're just like, okay.
So what is your favorite Transformers generation and why?
Oh, I really like Transformers Prime a lot. That's my favorite.
Pretty solid choice. You get the two greats as the leaders.
Mm-hmm. I just really think you know, I know the animation's a little outdated now, but I really liked the unique designs for the characters. Mm-hmm. I really liked the music. The music really set the tone of that show and the narrative. The voice acting was brilliant. You know, I really, the story was really good. You know, it's the only Transformers show that made me cry. So I gotta say, it's, you know, it's just every time I watch it, it just gives me chills. Like, they did just such a good job with everything with it, with the story and the characters. And it is just done really well.
Which episode made you cry?
You know, it was actually the final one, because, like, just with how, like, you know, Megatron's story ended, you know, with Bumblebee killing him, you know, because Optimus didn't want to kill Megatron ever, you know. I think he thought that Megatron, you know, would be able to redeem himself, but, you know, just... That actually really surprised me. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think they were actually going to do that. So just seeing like the reaction of all the characters and then, you know, that actually brought some tears to my eyes, you know. So and also the movie, too. But, you know, but yeah,
I think for me, what got me so excited at the end of Prime was, yes, Batman Beyond is the voice of Bumblebee. Finally, Bumblebee gets a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I could kind of get that. Like, it was kind of like you were uncertain on what happened to Starscream, and then Megatron just gets like totally shafted at the end of the episode, and you're like, oh, so that's how they're going to end it. And it was like just, you know, a shock. And then when they brought him back and he was, you know, enhanced by Unicron and brought back, and then he's just like, at the end of it, he's just like, I'm done. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they flipped it and killed Prime.
Yeah, and that was really sad too. It's just like, wait, what? Like, no, can't he have a happy ending? Like, it's just so messed up.
I mean, at least they brought Prime back in RID, in for the 2015 series, even though it was like way weirder animation and a different plot line, like that didn't focus on Prime or Megatron. And it had Prime in it, but he was kind of sporadic. And then you come to find out that Starscream and some of the other guys were, you know, came back.
Yeah, I've tried watching that show, and like I couldn't get into it, but I should give it another chance. I know what happens in it, but that's from the Force continuity, like I can't speak right now. You know, because like I think that's part of like Rescue Bots is in that timeline too, right?
Rescue Bots was its own thing. RID 2015 is a direct, it's not a direct, but it ties into Prime. It's the next 2D adventures of Prime, but it did tell its own story until they finally brought Prime into it. Well,
yeah, they brought Prime, they had Ratchet show up, they had a couple of the people from Prime that weren't in it in there, and then they brought Soundwave back and Starscream, and Starscream came back in his G1 body, and
that's cool.
But yeah, I mean, it was it got better, but there was a lot of episodes that honestly, like, I feel like Cyberverse was more well done.
Yes,
not only in design but story. So yeah, if you haven't seen Cyberverse, I feel like it was kind of glossed over because it became a YouTube show.
Oh, I've seen it. It's so good. Like, I do think it's very, it was underrated, you know, and I wish it would have gotten more syndication. I also wish the figures were better from it. And yeah, I really liked what they did with Cyberverse, just, you know, especially season 3.
Oh, like, yeah.
That was so good. Like, so good. It was just like, oh, you know, are we allowed to say spoilers on this show?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just really liked seeing, you know, the Autobots and the Decepticons team up against the Quintessons. You know, I thought that was brilliant. It was just really well done.
Totally agree.
I wish they had more time for the episodes, though. Like, you know, if they could have given that show, like, you know, 20-minute long episodes, I think that would have been really good. And then, you know, just even having, like, Tarn show up in a show is super cool.
Yeah. I think, and I mentioned this on a previous ATTF episode here, I think they were trying to experiment with the YouTube thing, with doing the short form episode thing, because I said this on the other episode as well. I said basically Hasbro has to, they don't have to, but they want to cater to all of us, the old fans, the young fans, the kids, the fans that, you know, have kids that grew up on it, that have kids now, kind of thing. So they have to dig their stuff into all these different pies and pots. And I think that was a experiment of, will this work? And then it did to an extent. And then now for us older fans, we have, you know, War for Cybertron, which is 22 minutes and whatever else. So who knows?
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, even with Cyberverse, I know that was aimed at kids. There was a lot of dark stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like with, like Starscream, like getting murdered by Megatron for 2 minutes. Like, that was pretty dark.
Well, and then like Megatron X.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, where he took the Matrix and he slaughtered Prime and the Autobots and came over and he's like, you're doing it wrong.
Pretty much, yeah. It's just, yeah, it was wild. And then, like, Deadlock and, you know, Hot Rod, you know, got in that fight to the death. And, you know, Hot Rod survived, but, you know, Deadlock didn't.
Wasn't Cheetor in that show?
Yeah, he was in that show, too.
Yeah, he disappeared on the Rust Planet or something like that, or died somewhere thereafter. But, it's always funny to see when Beast Wars pops up in something.
Yeah, I think that's really cool that, you know, he showed up in there and that, like, you know, they do Easter eggs for Beast Wars, because Beast Wars did revive Transformers.
And I feel, and this is partially what my panel is going to focus on, is how it continuously kind of puts another, like, little shot and jolt into it. Because, like, in IDW, Rat Trap gets used a lot.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Yeah, until all are one.
And Prime Wars, they had Optimus Primal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then now with War for Cybertron, we have Kingdom. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, like I got Cheetor from the, for the toys from that, from Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I transformed him. It's the most fun I've had or transforming a Transformers figure in a long time. You know, getting him into his, you know, robot mode, and I'm saying that in air quotes, you know, in his cheetah form. Like, I think that's super cool. You know, that you know, and it's the most fun I've had, you know, with transforming a figure into its alt mode and stuff. So I really do think Beast Wars is going to, you know, revive the fandom, and we'll have to see how it is in the show for Kingdom.
Oh yeah, totally. And I of course I'll discuss more about it on my panel, but so people have to go pay attention to that. shameless plug. But
yes.
But yeah, I mean I'm interested to see what they do with Kingdom. I'm hoping Mike knows I've been going,
oh,
like,
oh boy, here he goes. He's gonna go
into a broken record. It's
here he goes,
me.
He's gonna go into his anxiety over the voice acting.
Uh oh.
Yes. I hope that they get people that at least if they're going to go with a totally original take, I'm fine with that. If they try to have people do impressions and they're bad, it's going to sound so much worse. I'm going to redub it if they do, because I can do multiple of the character voices. I'm fine with that. And I know sound alikes, so.
Yeah, I hope the voice acting at least is that they hit it spot on, because I'm not gonna lie, I was not a fan of Optimus' voice at all in Earthrise and Siege. Like, it was, I don't get it.
I agree, because when he started to get emotion, he broke character so often in his impression.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't hold the voice, and that's part of the problem with when you're having somebody do an impersonation. Like Megatron, I can do in my sleep. When I have a cold, I can do him even better. But like, you know, for me to say I can do it spot on like David Kay is kind of, you know, I can't. I mean, I can get like 98%, but there's still that other 2% that makes his unique and special. And that's the same thing with Peter Cullen and Frank Welker with their takes is, you know, you can get people that are 98% like, you know, John Bailey can do a pretty good impression of Ultra Magnus and of Optimus Prime. But then you've got guys like Dr. Smoove who can do a pretty spot on Peter Cullen Optimus Prime, you know. And so, I mean, like, I don't have a problem with him in, because I believe he played him in Cyberverse. But it's a different rendition, like different kind of style. Whereas here, I feel like he kind of broke character. And there's, I mean, I'm not knocking the actor, because like he did the best with what he's got and what he's told to do. It's just like the voice actor's talking at really slow pace.
Yes.
Which drove me nuts. I figured out if you go 1.25 on Netflix, they're normal speed at their speech. The animation goes faster than what you expect, but the audio is correct.
That's good to know.
But it really helped during the Megatron Galvatron scene. But I really love what Jason Marnosha and Frank Todaro did with their characters. I think that they're like the and Alita 1. Mm-hmm. I think that those three were pretty much the spot on, like, the best. Even though they're original takes, they were the spot on. Like, you felt the character, you felt the emotion in it. You know, you had the full range of everything going on with their character, whereas it didn't feel like they were doing a pale impression. They were just doing their own thing.
Yeah, and I really feel like they brought their own I feel like they really brought those characters to life. They weren't just doing impressions. They actually, you know, they were acting and developed their voice for those characters and had found those voices for their characters, because Megatron doesn't sound like Frank Welker's Megatron at all, in my opinion.
No,
like,
and honestly, I'm fine with it. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he does a really good job. And, you know, I was actually reading something about, like, why Megatron talks so slow. And it actually makes sense is that, you know, since he has so much power over the Decepticons, like, he can talk as slow as he wants, you know, pretty much. It's like each word is calculated. So, you know, maybe that's what they were directed to do, but that actually makes sense to me. Like, it's like, oh yeah, that's why he talks slow. It's because, you know, he's just, you know, every word has power behind it when he speaks.
I think too that he's contemplating everything. I think that people make him out like he's this dumb evil ruler in some mm-hmm. regards, and you can tell that he's very conflicted, because there's things that, like, he doesn't agree with Prime, but he mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily want to go off the rails like Shockwave wants him to do. Like, Shockwave's like, yep, let's commit genocide, let's do it, and Megatron's like, that's hold up there. Like, I want to do it this way. Like, and Shockwave's like, but I have this way. And he's like, no. And, you know, remember, I'm the leader, not you. And it's kind of funny to see that dynamic, that Shockwave's kind of pushing him, you know, needling him to become this evil person when he's very conflicted on how he wants to go about his goals.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting too, the Shockwave Megatron power dynamic in War for Cybertron, because I know in IDW 1, you know, Shockwave, you know, mm-hmm. schemed all and planned everything that right. happened in that, you know. So it's like, it was really cool seeing that dynamic again too. And I do think that the Megatron that Jason played in War for Cybertron, yeah, he was very conflicted. I mean, you could tell just in his voice when he's going to visit you know, those Decepticons in that one district, you know, the one they're thinking about harvesting into energy for their mm-hmm. spaceship. And, you know, you can tell he's just, like, you know, conflicted completely in that whole interaction.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Is. And honestly, like I said earlier, and like we said earlier, it's not, you know, Frank and Peter are not going to be around forever, heaven forbid, but, you know, they're just not. And you're going to mm-hmm. need to find some people to either do their
create
own
create a new version.
Yeah, yeah. And this is why I'm perfectly fine with Jake and Jason. Yes, I know Jake has, you know, a little issue with his emotion part, and he gets too Batman Dark Knight gravelly. But overall, I love Jake's stuff that he did with Optimus in War for Cybertron, Siege, and Earthrise. And Jason Marnosha as Megatron is, like, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would put, and again, this you know, is kind of a testament. I would, obviously, I'm going to put David Kaye as my number one, but I would probably put, and it would be a hard tie here, but I would have to put Frank as his Transformers Prime Megatron mm-hmm. is number two, and then Jason mm-hmm. Marnosha is number three, and then probably the G1 is four. And but honestly, like, they're all there's a little bit something different, even when the same actor's doing it in different programs, because I know Jason did it in the Prime Wars trilogy and he had a faster delivery and it sounded a little bit different yet in that. So yeah, I mean, it's you kind of get this new generation and get a new version every, you know, so many years, and it's kind of refreshing, but it's also giving new fans something that they can cling to like we cling to the old stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So if you could voice a character, who would you want to voice?
Oh my gosh, I did not think about this. I haven't, obviously I've not thought a lot about this, but if Nautica ever becomes on in a show, I'd like to voice her or Flame War. I think that would be fun.
Very cool, very cool.
Very cool. And who is your let's imagine that all of them are still with us, because I know a few of them have passed away over the years, but who is your favorite Transformers actor?
I really like Chris Latta, as Starscream. You know, he's my favorite, hands down. Like, I really wish I could have met him, but, I can say that he's my favorite, but I do think that Peter Cullen, if I'm thinking about like favorite voices, I really do in voice actors, I think it's Peter Cullen. I mean, I think he just has, to quote Stan Bush, the touch, It's just, his voice is really magical. The way he talks as Optimus, it is, it's like he's an inspiring, approachable leader, who's a strong leader but also kind too, like as he said in interviews. And I think those are really good qualities that anyone should strive for, and I think it's especially lacking in this time right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that the why people love Transformers so much is because of Peter Cullen and his acting as Optimus. It's a big part of it, I think.
Absolutely.
So I think that about wraps it up.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us, Apollo.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
And of course, we look forward to IACON Online. Where can the good people find out more?
Well, to find out more about IACON Online, go to our website, which is iacononline.wordpress.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter. And our username is @IACONOnline. So please make sure that you follow our accounts and sign up for notifications. We have a lot more announcements that we have not made yet. Like as I hinted at during this interview, there's a few more guests we're going to be announcing. We're going to be announcing panels. We've announced a few already. We're also announcing artists that are going to be featured in our artist alley. And they will be in our Discord, and also we'll be advertising them on our website too.
Oh, come on. Can't we get one exclusive announcement? Come on.
Oh my gosh. Well, if you go on our website right now, like there's a guest on there who hasn't been announced officially yet. But his photo is on there.
So that's the hint you need, people.
Yeah. So, and I'm very excited to have him as part of our event. This is just so exciting, and it's just grown beyond what I thought. In regards to me, because I'm a fan artist, I'm on Twitter and Instagram @RoboApollo. Just spelt how it sounds, and follow me to find out more about IACON Online, or to see my art, or see pictures of my dog. I've been posting a lot of pictures of my dog on there, Jazz. So, thank you both for having me on.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. So Thank you, as always, listeners, for tuning in to All Things Transformers. I've been your host, along with TFG and Mike. And, of course, you can interact with us and the show on Twitter at All Things TFV3 and this episode's post on Facebook, as well as GeekCastRadio.com. So until next time,
transform and roll out. Yeah.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.